Bogdan. We're here with the Governor, Dr. Alexander Scott, and Director Smiley. We can take your follow-up questions.
The conference is now in talk mode.
Doctor, if I can follow
Governor, are you still short of testing supplies? And what are your thoughts on the White House testing blueprint that was released yesterday? Is it adequate and realistic?
Yeah. Can you just say the first part of your question again, please?
Sure. Yeah. Are you still short of testing supplies that you've talked about in past days?
Mm-hmm. So the answer to that is yes. Yes, is the short answer. On the call yesterday with the president and his cabinet, they assured us, governors, because this isn't just a Rhode Island problem, that the private supply of the test kits and reagents is expected to really start to open up next week and the week after. So they anticipated that they would be able to meet our needs fully for the month of May. So hopefully that comes to be. In the meantime, you know, we make it work. We take what we can get from the federal government. We're constantly placing orders. We're in constant contact with them. In fact, a minute ago, Dr. Nicole Alexander Scott and I were corresponding with Dr. Burke on the next topic. So we work with them, but also we're very aggressively buying whatever we can in the private market. The biggest challenge is that the federal government has directed Abbott to only work with the federal government. So obviously that makes it tough because we can't go direct to the company. And what's your second question?
It was the White House testing blueprint for states. What is that realistic, and is it adequate? Is it what you need from them?
I think it's a helpful guide. You know, their position has been they're going to provide us guidance, and then each governor has to make decisions state by state. I will say that Dr. Burke has been very available to us, and, you know, Dr. Nicole Alexander Scott and her team, Dr. King, who runs our lab, you know, they're in great contact together. We come up with our ideas. Dr. Burke and her team give us advice. So it's a good collaborative relationship. And then, you know, we have our own public health experts on the ground.
Governor, if I could just follow up on my question. Does the Department of Health have the ability to override Congress, Rhode Island, or other cabinet members? In other words, is health the final stop when it comes to decisions about reopening or moving forward with any phase?
No, I am that. And we do it collaboratively. So it's not really like a vote. We sit together, we work constantly, and we defer to the Department of Health, we defer to science, we defer to the health officials, and we seek their guidance for how can we get people back to work, but do it in the safest way possible.
I have a question for Dr. Alexander Scott.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, this is Barbara Morse from NBC 10. I want to talk more about the antibody testing. Some urgent cares are offering it for request diagnostics. They are charging them. Plus, they're charging them another fee, and they're saying it is not FDA approved. What's your thought on that? Should people avoid these and wait for the state's antibody testing?
Yeah, there's still more to learn. And so the science does not support using antibody tests on an individual patient level at this point. And we want to really lean on the COVID-19 testing and validation task force experts to help provide for us guidance on the best way to go forward so that the clinical community and the business community can use that information to inform the best way to go forward and make that known to the public so the public can understand that as well.
How soon do you think that will be up and running, this antibody task force? I know you have the 20,000 samples. Are you looking for guidance from different members of this task force?
Yes, we are. So we shared the co-chairs, the members are pulled together, and we look to start meeting as soon as possible. And we'll continue going as long as we need to gather the right information to provide the proper guidance for the public, the clinical community, and the business community.
Thank you.
Governor, when you say the science does not support individual use of antibody testing, is that because WHO and others have said that antibody presence does not indicate, is not sufficient to indicate immunity? This is Mike Quibilla from Motif.
Because we're still learning about it. It is challenging, for example, to know if you have immunoglobulin, IgG, or IgM, what level do you need it to be in order to ensure actual immunity? Does immunity actually exist if you've already had the infection? And how accurate is the antibody test in assessing that? All of those are important questions that the science is still being developed to provide answers on.
If I could just follow up on the testing numbers, I know
I hear a follow up to Dr. Alexander Scott. Something. Is that Brian?
Yeah, hi, Brian Crandall. I just wanted to follow up on the testing numbers, you know, because the number really went down, and I know Dr. Alexander Scott, you mentioned the weather over the weekend, and I know the weather wasn't great yesterday either. Just to clarify, so when the testing number that was reported today, and so it's 1,808 more than the day before, is that the number of tests that were performed yesterday or the day before? And just to clarify that, and then just to follow up, do you believe that people who are symptomatic, that there is not a backlog of people waiting for tests? Do you think everybody who wants a test right now is able to get one, or do you think there's a waiting line, so to speak?
So to answer the first question, the data that we report comes through from yesterday, but the test may have been done the day before because we are reporting the results of the test, which take that 24-hour time frame. And in terms of the capacity, we absolutely have the capacity to test anyone in the state who needs the test. We are now focused on matching access to those tests to that capacity, addressing people who may be homebound and have symptoms and need tests, folks who may not have a car, or folks who have challenging critical infrastructure jobs that they need to go to and have only certain hours that they can go get tested, which they wouldn't do if they had symptoms. But being able to address the access piece is what we're focused on now.
Thank you.
Can I just talk to you, Dr. Scott? I'm still confused about the answer you gave to Eli's question on the death data. He wouldn't be able to log into the call. The data from your department says 732 cases admitted to a hospital cumulatively, 466 discharged cumulatively, 266 now in the hospital. So if you add the last two together, you get the 732 ever. Are you including deaths as discharges?
Let me confirm on that. Joseph will follow up with you so that I'm giving you the accurate response there. We'll nail that down. I have it in front of me, but I want to make sure that I'm saying the right numbers to you.
Okay, thank you.
I
have a question.
I don't know if you've seen the report from Katie Mulvaney and the Projo about Wyatt Detention Center, but the COVID-positive detainee alleges that the prison was ignoring sick slips that he submitted for a couple of weeks asking for medical care, and that he was misevaluated with symptoms and then released in the general population, et cetera, et cetera. You said in the past that you were working with the medical director of the medical staff at Wyatt and were in daily consultation with them, or at least somebody from DOH was in daily consultation with them. And I'm wondering, is there any element of, to put it directly, enforcement to make sure that they're doing what you advise them or doing what they're supposed to do? And if not, what is DOH's responsibility and ability to fix that?
Hi, Michael, it's Professor Martin. The doctor can speak to the consultation with the medical director, judge that is now in close contact with the warden and the U.S. Marshal, and that judge is overseeing what's happening inside the prisoners. That's not a state.
Well, Director Smiley, with respect, I understand that, but the reports that White is filing with the federal judge bluntly say that they're doing X, Y, and Z in cooperation with the Rhode Island State Department of Health, and so I think that that raises the question fairly as to what is DOH doing. What is their involvement? I'm sorry, Doctor.
Yeah, our involvement is, as has been shared, which is to provide the guidance that they need to have a plan in place to isolate patients who are ill. They do have a negative pressure room, helping to ensure that the right patients are able to use that. All of the steps needed to prevent transmission are what our conversations entail when we interact with them. There is always the occasional element of someone having a different experience, and as with any of the entities that we work with, it's important to make sure they have the guidance to address that and ensure that everyone who receives the measures in place to help prevent transmission.
All right, thank you.
Another question?
I have a question on the PIXL by LabCorp, the home collection tests, which right now are being used for healthcare workers and first responders, but they're ramping up for the general public where a person collects it at home, which eliminates the PPE issue, and then sends it to the local labs. Apparently there are 4 states where you cannot order this, and one of them is Rhode Island. Do you know anything about that?
Yes. There happened to be a regulatory policy that we feel is something that is able to easily be addressed and overcome. We certainly welcome having access to that test as it is understood, hopefully through the task force that I mentioned and other evaluations, that is something that will be valuable for us. And with that determination, when that occurs, we feel that it will be normal process and easy for us to address any regulatory hurdles to allow it to occur.
Okay, thank you. Director, if we could go back to the testing numbers. So in the lab, this is Steph Machado. In the last day, there were 1,800 test results that came back, but there were days last week with more than double that number in a day, 3,400 or so. So are we actually seeing fewer people getting tested on a daily basis, or is this just the result of the labs that report more results back on Thursdays or something? I'm just trying to understand if there's actually fewer people going to get tests day to day now.
Yeah, there is a comprehensive testing strategy that's in place that can contribute to some of these peaks and valleys in our testing. For example, there were many tests done over the weekend time and the previous days that focused on our congregate settings that were experiencing clusters of cases. We've also been aggressive, as I've shared, in ascertaining tests across the entire congregate setting environment. So some days that can contribute to more of the tests being obtained than others. And it's multifactorial. Sunday we had the weather concern. We've been able to roll out some of the additional testing in the congregate care setting. And that will be why we'll have ebbs and flows in our testing numbers as long as we stay close to that high target that we maintain.
Oh, interesting. The day last week where there was like 430 cases, was that because that was the day or the day before that you went and tested all the nursing home residents?
It certainly can contribute to having more cases when we are actually testing more to identify them.
Yes. So, Steph, this is the governor. Yes, the answer is yes. I mean, I don't know precisely what happened last Thursday, but, you know, for example, the day that we opened the quote-unquote healthcare line at CVS. You know, we're doing several hundred tests a day for just healthcare workers because we want to get it done quickly. You know, obviously the percent positive when you do things like that at the CVS testing site goes up. We're doing all the veterans in the veterans home now. You're going to see percent, you know, we're being very aggressive on nursing homes. You'll see percent positive go up. So it's yes. The short answer is yes.
Okay, thank you.
And on SurveyMonkey, this is Patrick from the Journal. Is this asking the same questions via text that the live contact tracers are asking folks who test positive and their contacts?
Pretty much, although those people ask pretty much, but this is just symptoms. SurveyMonkey is a symptom tracker. So a few times a day, they'll ask about your fever, aches, pains. You know, the contact tracing is that, but also where have you been, who you've been with, et cetera.
And it's not an app, it's just a text message survey.
Yes.
That comes periodically.
Okay. Yes, thank you. Push text to you. And it's at your option if you want to engage, but it's my request that all Rhode Islanders feel comfortable engaging with it.
Thank you.
All right, guys, we're at time for today. We'll be back.